Food is the language everyone speaks, but do we truly understand it?
Between the conversations over organic food and GMOs, different diets taking the world by storm, and how what we eat actually impacts our environment,
there's no shortage of things to learn about. Hi, I'm Karel Vega.
And I'm Cheryl Kirschenbaum, and this is Serving Up Science. Karel, are you wearing a jacket already?
It's officially fall, Cheryl, and it's starting to get chilly out there.
Fair enough. I may be in denial because I just love the warm weather in Michigan.
But with fall comes some things to look forward to. Halloween.
True.
Apple picking.
Been to the orchards 2 times already.
Pumpkin spice?
No.
I'm guessing you're not a fan.
Ugh.
Well, you're not alone in your dislike of pumpkin spice. Just last week, John Oliver went on this rant.
Yes, it's that special time of year where we voluntarily imbibe pumpkin spice lattes. The coffee that tastes like a candle. And I don't mean it tastes like a candle smells. Pumpkin spice lattes taste like a candle tastes. Don't ask me how I know that.
Pumpkin spice coffee is really popular, Cheryl.
I know, and I've spotted pumpkin spice whipped cream, pumpkin spice cereal, pumpkin spice potato chips, and pumpkin spice everything this time of year.
But you're not buying it.
Definitely not. Pumpkin spice just isn't my cup of tea. Or in my cup of tea.
Okay, I get it, and I see where you're coming from. The most shocking example I've seen this year is pumpkin spice cottage cheese. Where do we draw the line?
I'm not personally sure, but we did a non-scientific survey on social media, and I can tell you 53% of our respondents said no, just no. 31% said it's okay for coffee, but not chips, and 16% said bring it on.
Did you see the cottage cheese, by the way? Disgusting.
No.
I can't believe someone would ever do that. I mean, I know there's a case to be made that it's good to experiment with new flavors, but again, some things were not meant to be pumpkin spiced. But I feel like we're being a little biased.
There's not even usually pumpkin in pumpkin spice, Karel.
No?
Pumpkin spice began as pumpkin pie spice. Originally, it was a mix of cloves, nutmeg, and cinnamon, sometimes ginger.
So it started as a blend of ingredients people used specifically to season pumpkin pies.
Right. And while we usually associate pumpkin pie with American colonists, the popular dessert, which I do like, by the way, didn't make a cameo at the first Thanksgiving. American colonists were eating pumpkins back then, but their ovens weren't yet able to make the modern pie crusts we now enjoy.
So pumpkins were roasted for stews, sauces, and soups, or baked into breads and cakes.
The flavors we associate with, quote, pumpkin spice, didn't show up until the 1950s when McCormick put it on the supermarket shelves as a spice bottle.
Ah, I see. And that's how pumpkin spice found its way into other foods and beverages.
In the 1990s, retailers spent a lot of time experimenting with different flavored coffees. The explosion of pumpkin spice coffee more recently followed the success of Starbucks' pumpkin spice latte in 2003, which is still their most popular seasonal drink.
Which you won't be ordering, but the company even released their PSL, as it's known to fans, about a week earlier this year in honor of the drink's 15th anniversary. The late August release prompted some pretty funny conversations online. One Twitter user wrote, "It's 90 degrees out, but I bet somebody will be wearing Uggs drinking pumpkin spice latte today."
And no, I probably won't be ordering it.
But how did we come to associate pumpkin spice flavors with autumn?
That's the time of year colonists would have been thinking ahead and preparing their homes for winter.
Which we still do today with things like storm windows.
We do, and when it comes to food, people preserved and baked with the smells of cinnamon, nutmeg, ginger, cloves, and allspice.
Many of the same spices we still use in our fall desserts in this millennium.
So, of course, we now consider them comfort foods, and we feel an emotional tie to the scent. So for many of us, pumpkin spice itself is strongly associated with the holidays and feelings of warmth and family.
Holidays like Thanksgiving.
Yes, and that relationship has been lucrative for all sorts of retailers who introduce ever more pumpkin spice products each season.
You're saying there's been a kind of emotional branding around the concept of pumpkin spice.
Tied to our national history as well as our personal experiences.
So when I enjoy a pumpkin spice latte, there's a lot more to my experience than taste.
Emotional branding is a clever way that companies create an effective link between the consumer and the brand.
And so that's why we now have the seasonal domination of pumpkin spice. Here's another example from Mad Men's Don Draper. It's the feeling a product gives to someone that he called the carousel.
It's not called the wheel. It's called the carousel. It lets us travel the way a child travels. round and around, and back home again.
Right. Emotional branding works.
And can taste good, too.
For some people.
If sales are any indication, to a lot of people, according to data from Nielsen, in the week ended August 25th of this year, sales of pumpkin spiced flavored items totaled nearly $7 million. That's a 10% increase in dollar growth from the year before, and that was 1 week before the release of America's favorite pumpkin spice flavored latte.
It's a part scent and a part nostalgia. Plus, its popularity provides a sense of community and solidarity.
It's as American as pumpkin spice.
I guess so. You've been listening to Serving Up Science, where your hosts aren't drinking pumpkin-spiced hot beverages.
At least not today. This series is produced at Michigan State University in association with food at MSU. I'm Karel Vega.
And I'm Cheryl Kirschenbaum, and this is WKAR.